This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. I really do. I mean that.
I like the energy.
It's a nice day out there. My name is Isaac.
Sada.
Suh. That's what I say because I'm a bro. Suh. Sada. Big Sook's right over there.
Oh, dude.
We are Isaac and Sook.
Speaking of sub-bros, I saw a photo today. You've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, correct?
Of course.
The original bro. We all know who it is.
Spicoli.
Spicoli.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Go look up. Sean Penn now looks exactly, and I mean exactly, like Mr.
Spicoli?
No, he looks like Mr. Hand. It's the weirdest thing. It was going around Twitter today, side by side, Spicoli and Hand. They're the same person now. It's very, if you want to feel old, realize that Jeff Spicoli is officially turned into Mr. Hand. It's weird.
Oh my God, he does look like Mr.
Right?
Hand.
Right? He looks like Mr. Hand. That made me feel, and yesterday I was wearing my sex wax shirt. That's Spicoli's t-shirt from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the Mr. Zog sex wax. And then today I see that, my mind completely blown, and I'm back to being 1,000 years old.
Yeah. Penn's what? Is he 60 yet?
Oh, he's got to be in his 60s.
Got to be?
Well, Fast Times came out in the early 80s.
64.
Yeah. He's old.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah,
he
just...
I'm not going to lie. He does look like Mr. Hand, but he doesn't... He looks like a sexy Mr. Hand.
Well, he's a...
He looks good.
This is the benefit of being a male versus female in Hollywood. Sean Penn can look haggard as hell and still kind of pull off a rugged manliness. You know, when you're a gal and you start to age like that, no one says that's a rugged gal. No, it's you just you know, look old. But yeah, Sean Penn does good work.
I do think old white guys say that's a rugged gal
just
because that's what they do. They comment on things that they
because well, we all know that we're going down that road. I mean, when you grow your beard out in your hair, you look a little bit like the Gordon Fisherman. And no one, like, and so you just gotta, like, it's a rugged manliness sort of thing. you got to hold on to it. It's like the one advantage that we have, you know, because men, we've got the short end of the stick forever. Those damn women, they always have the upper hand. That's the one thing we have on them. I do love when men talk about how life is hard for them.
Especially us white guys.
Yes, the poor white man. When is he going to get his opportunity? When do we get to be on top for once?
All right. Coming up here, what should the Seahawks do at wide receiver? The latest concussion research shows something quite surprising.
Uh-oh.
I must tell you about that.
Good surprising, bad surprising?
Oh, I don't think it's bad.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Blazers, by the way, good. Down 9 at the half. I don't like this.
Uh-oh. That might be time to live bet.
Sweat. All of a sudden, my plus 10 isn't looking so good.
Well, the NBA is weird.
I know.
Like
we got to run. That whole half, things were looking great. Oops, I lied. We're down by 11 at the half. Probably that damn Peyton Pritchard. Every time I was turned around, he's hitting another three.
He's got
18.
God, what are they doing? Who's winning? What is occurring?
Boston's winning, and
why?
Freaking Peyton Pritchard can't miss.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
5-9 from beyond the arc. I got a sawbuck on this, Peyton. Come on.
There is no NBA game that you should even worry about your bet until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, dude. Unless it's already like sometimes teams get blown up by 50, like in the first half.
Yeah.
And then you should worry. Yeah. But
this,
it'll go back and forth. You know how it is.
There's a run coming.
All right. Coming up in the club tonight, we're going to learn about the Tooth Fairy Index. And
Tooth Fairy Index, huh?
Yes. The percentage of people who pee in the shower. We will learn about that.
Oh, wow. Well. Guilty as charged.
Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
What are you going to do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know.
Number five.
Yeah, your upstart Blazers are playing the Celtics without Tatum, Porzingis, and Holiday.
Yes.
And yet they've given up 66 in the first half.
It's not good.
And they trail 66-55.
Yeah.
It is game six of a long 7-game roadie.
Derek White has 24 and Peyton Pritchard 5
Whoa.
Threes for 18.
Derek White has 24?
Who else is
He's
scoring
6 of
point?
9 from deep.
Sam Hauser or Luke Kornet? Come on.
I'm a big Sam Hauser guy.
Sharp has 11 for your Zers. I think he's the leading scorer. Scoot also with 11, so there you go.
In another basketball note, Miami hires Duke assistant Jai Lewis to take over its basketball program, replacing Jim Larinaga.
I know nothing about it.
Do you like that hire? Comment now. Go.
Was he a player at Duke?
I don't know. Oh. I have no idea.
Duke's good. I know that.
Jai Lewis. What a
so, there you go.
Hey, Duke is good.
Number four.
NFC East news. Eagles bringing back linebacker Zach Bond, 3 years, $51 million.
Yeah, I mean, he went from being an edge-rushing afterthought special teams guy in New Orleans to potential defensive player of the year. Looks like they're going to let both Sweat and Milton along their defensive line walk. Bond was clearly the priority there for Philadelphia. And after the year he had, that seemed like a no-brainer. But going into it, a lot of people thought that they weren't going to be able to retain him. But remember, they made a couple cuts in the secondary and a couple along the defense line they're going to let go. And next thing you know, here comes a well-deserved contract for him.
The Cowboys have reworked Dak Prescott's deal. They convert $45 million of his base to a bonus, which opens up $36 million in cap space. They did the same thing with CeeDee Lamb yesterday.
So maybe they can now not do the Jerry Jones. We're not going to do anything in free agency because there's holes to fill on that roster. But by the way, lots of places on that roster.
Number three.
Well, the Chiefs have traded all-pro guard Joe Thuney to the Bears for a fourth-round draft pick.
Yeah, this is interesting. So everyone thought that Trey Smith, who was their young guard, was going to be the one to walk, but they franchise-tagged him. And everyone's like, man, that's a lot of money to spend on three offensive linemen because they're already paying one tackle. Well, it turns out they're not going to pay three linemen $20-plus million. They're going to keep Trey Smith, which means they're going to sign him to a long-term deal. And then Tooney's gone, who, by the way, was their best offensive lineman, but he's 32. So if you're the Bears, this makes sense. You have a lot of money. It's a one-year deal. It's a stopgap. So they have completely rebuilt their interior offensive line. And so this is kind of one of those that makes sense. And even though Tooney's a better player than Smith, this is just an age thing. So now they'll try to fill that spot somewhere else.
So it's the second offensive line deal in 2 days for Chicago. Yesterday they dealt for Rams guard Jonah Jackson.
And he was in Detroit with Ben Johnson. He was a big free agent signing for the Rams, got hurt, and then was never the same, got benched. So they're counting on him being back to Detroit form. And when you look at what Ben Johnson wants to do, what did he build in Detroit? An elite O-line. So Chicago has spent a lot of money to try to rebuild this, and they're probably going to take a tackle in the draft.
Well, we have a new highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. Pass rusher Max Crosby surpasses Minnesota's Justin Jefferson. Four-time Pro Bowler Crosby, staying with the Raiders, 3 years. $106.5 million, his extension. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean,
he's great.
He's the heart and soul of that team.
He is. So this is one of those, you know, I don't love paying these sorts of contracts when you have a lot of holes and you're in a rebuild. But in this case, the guy's certainly worth it. One of the best players. And as you said, even if you think that you could get more for him on the open market, you can't tell the rest of your team that you're punting on the heart and soul of the team. You almost are forced to re-sign these guys, and he certainly is worth it. Truly one of the elite players, and just plays his ass off. Come too
far together. Also, the Raiders are releasing Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Saddening everyone.
They have no quarterback. Like, that's
none. Yeah. They might want to find one.
They got to figure that out. No offense to Max Crosby, but unless you can throw the three-step drop, the Raiders are in some trouble.
Dude, what if Brady just rolls out and starts slinging tutties?
Get murdered at this point.
Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf has requested a trade. Says he'd prefer to go to a contender. Seattle will now explore that market. The odds-on favorite to land him are the Packers. This news has upset the Seahawks because they wanted today to be about celebrating veteran receiver Tyler Lockett, who was released. He heads to the heavens, second all-time in franchise history behind Steve Largent in catches, yards, and tutties.
True professional, and unfortunately, he was going to be a $31 million hit against the cap. So everyone knew coming into this year, or last year, this was his last season. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is their best receiver now, and you know, to be honest with the DK Metcalf thing, if you're Seattle, it's got 1 year left on the deal, whatever. If you can get a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick at this point for him, just he is not worth the headache at this point. He's a very talented guy, but he's certainly not getting you over the hump. Move on from DK Metcalf because you're not going to re-sign him anyways. And maybe a contender will think that he can put you over the top and maybe you can get some decent compensation for him. But if you're a Seahawks fan, I don't think that the Metcalf thing is a big deal.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington. Now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver, find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. What should the Seahawks do at wide receiver? And a little bit of concussion news as well today. We'll get to those items coming up on The Fan. Hi.
What? No, John.
You have a lot of players.
Well, guys, the Seahawks need some receivers.
Yes, they do.
You know?
I think they have their number. And by the way, we don't know that Seattle is going to deal DK Metcalf. I think they will.
They should.
Well, he's got 1 year left. He's going to want to get paid the next one because, you know, after that, then he's going to be 30 plus. So he's not going to take a friendly deal. And right now, I think he's like, I don't know, like 17th, 18th in the league. So he's going to want a big money deal. And I just don't think DK Metcalf, when you look at the money deals that are out there, especially if he wants number one receiver money, he's not a number one receiver. Jaxon Smith-Njigba going forward is going to be your number one receiver. And I don't think DK is going to be okay taking number two receiver money. So if you're Seattle right now, see what sort of compensation you can get. And the free agency, by the way, for receivers this year just kicks rocks.
Well, there's some names, but they're all they're all kind of like, well, like Stephon Diggs, for example. Like, you're not going to get him.
No. So T. Higgins,
Hollywood Brown.
T. Higgins isn't going anywhere. I think Chris Godwin is is nice. I don't think he leaves Tampa Bay. But outside of that,
he'd then be expensive, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be in that mid-20s. And again, if you're asking me who I'd want to pay, I'd rather pay Godwin. I don't like one-trick pony receivers and that kind of have attitude problems in DK Metcalf. And you're trying to build more of a run-first team here. So I don't think Godwin's probably going to be on their radar. So to me, it's simple, right? You have Bobo who came on last year and he had about 20 catches, whatever. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is your guy. You can probably go find a veteran depth guy for cheap in the free agent market, which is whatever. And then you go to the NFL draft where, again, I believe receivers at this point for me are like running backs the way we viewed them. You do not, like, if you want a true number one, you got to find that guy in the top 12, right? The Justin Jeffersons and the Chases and the BTJs, like, these guys are going early. And by the way, there may only be one of those in the draft, and that's T-Mac out of Arizona. But every year, it is proven in the NFL, you can find value, and not just value, you can find really good players, second, third, fourth, fifth round. So if you're Seattle, continue to rebuild your trenches, right? Fix your offensive line. Continue to build the robust defense, which is what your coach wants. And then go in the second, third round. Like, go get, go get what the Mbuka. Go get the other Ohio State receiver and pair him with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You know, go get the two kids out of Iowa State. I don't know if you've seen that, Jaden Higgins, who just looks like an absolute beast. Isaiah Bond out of Texas, if you want another speedster. There's plenty of guys that you can get in the second, third, and fourth round that you plug in because you already have your number one in Smith-Njigba. So now you're finding your number two, and I don't want to pay number one money for DK Metcalf. So this is a no-brainer for Seattle. Get the best package, and maybe a team who thinks that they can really get something out of him, maybe you can get a third or a fourth round pick.
So, okay, so you mentioned free agent and the draft there.
Yeah.
I'll go back to free agent real quick. On the top of the free agent list, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen,
blech.
Amari Cooper,
blech.
Then you get to Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks is out there.
Yeah. I mean, again, these are all rinse and repeat recycles. Again, don't fall in love.
Christian Kirk just got cut today.
Don't fall in love with name receivers, and also do not sign receivers 30-plus years old. There's like
Hopkins.
In the last like 15 years, I think there's two or three receivers that have gotten signed free agents or traded after the age of 30 that have had like 1,000-yard seasons. Receivers don't age like fine wine. They age like moldy bread, and Devontae Adams is still a nice player. Devontae Adams needs to go to a place like Kansas City where you just get him on a deal and it's like, you watch him go to Kansas City and then it'll be great. But he is no longer, in fact, when you go back and watch the Jets, do you know that he did not get the double team in New York? It was Garrett Wilson. I mean, that just tells you something, that even with the Jets, who were not a great offense, teams were rolling coverage towards Garrett Wilson, not Devontae Adams. So even Adams at this point is not a number one. He's a number two. So again, don't pay number one money for number two guys. This is a bad free agent class.
Okay, so then going on further down the list, like you said, find somebody, you know, who's like a, you know, just a cheaper stopgap guy, free agent. There are names like Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. You know,
Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great. Maybe even, maybe find someone that you take a flyer on that's coming off an injury or, someone that has something to prove. Just take a flyer, but this is going to be addressed through the draft. I'm telling you, I'm willing to wager that they are going to let him go, DK Metcalf. And I will bet you that there is a second or third and then like a fifth round pick. And they'll draft a couple receivers, and you can find those guys. Again, every year, Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick. Every year, Tank Dell, although, you know, obviously Tank Dell, you know, had everything go south on him. Did you see he had another ACL surgery?
Again?
Yeah.
Why?
Didn't take. So, you know, poor Tank Dell.
That was rough.
But there's an example, too. If you think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is your number one guy, You get a guy, you give me a guy like Tez Johnson. Tez Johnson may be sitting there in the fourth or fifth round. And if I'm Seattle and I want to run my play action game and I want to run a lot of this outside zone stuff, go find me some Tez. Go find me some Tez, put that guy in the slot and watch that guy work and operate. You just don't need to spend money on big name free agents. And I look at this free agent class and a receiver and I just, you know me, I think free agency in general is way overhyped. This is a very, very weak free agent class.
Yeah, so then, okay, so you...
So you may be able, by the way, to get good value from DK Metcalf, because if a team really wants a receiver to plug and play right now, DK's still, what, 27, 28 years old? He is a better option than anything out there on the free agent market, so you actually may be able to get something for him.
Yeah, so then looking at the draft, like you said, you named some guys... I mean, the top of the draft in the wide receiver market is the kid from Arizona, McMillan.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden. Mm-hmm. Don't even know where he... Where did he play?
Texas.
Texas guy.
He's a guy that ran like 4.29, and he was Texas's number one option. Dude can fly, probably made himself a lot of money, and then you've got Burden.
Luther Burden, yeah.
Out of Missouri.
He played at Missouri.
And didn't have a great year last year, better year the year before, but probably still a first round guy. And then maybe the safest of the receivers is Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State.
So can they really have Emeka Egbuka and Jackson Smith and Jigba? Can they really do that? And they both played at Ohio State?
Yes.
We can't do that.
Now, again, I wouldn't.
We need a white guy. Where's Cooper? What about Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, if you want.
What about Cooper Kupp?
Honestly,
seriously.
That's not a bad option.
The Rams are not bringing him back.
No, they're not bringing him
back. So what would they have to trade for him, or is he getting
cut? And would they trade him in the division?
We'll find out whether or not. If they don't trade him, they'll just have to cut him. So, yeah. If Cooper Kupp's available for dirt cheap, dude, or they end up cutting him, yes, go get Cooper Kupp. But my guess is Kupp would want to go play. My guess is he'll want to go play for a contender, and I don't know if Seattle fits that, but yes.
Why is all of a sudden Seattle being talked about? Like, are they rebuilding? Are they low-key rebuilding? Because I know Metcalf said he'd rather go to a contender, which is kind of funny because it's like, well, wait a minute. You're on a contender, technically.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think the idea is that McDonald is bringing in Kubiak to be his OC. They're going to change the way they operate. This is about to become a run-first, run-first, play-action, defensive-minded team. So I don't know if it's necessarily a full teardown rebuild, but things are about to start shifting. You aren't going to be... Remember, at one point, they had Lockett, Metcalf, and spent their first pick on Jackson Smith and Jigba. That's not happening with this crew. It's just not. McDonald is going to build this differently, and he brought in an OC that is going to build this differently. So I think if you're Metcalf, one of the reasons you want out, one, you probably don't think you're a contender. The last 3 years, you've won 10 games, haven't made the playoffs. And two, he sees the writing on the wall. He's not the number one guy. He still hasn't gotten his big contract. I think he was 3 years, $72 million that he's coming off of. So he wants one last big payday. And he knows that in this system, he's not going to put up monster numbers. He's not going to be the number one guy. So he's going to want
that. It's just kind of interesting what Seattle is. It's like, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
But not good enough.
Yes.
And McDonald knows that, and he has a different philosophy. So
yes,
he's going to turn that over a little bit more this year. So they're not really rebuilding; they're just they're refocusing on different strengths. Which I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a rebuild, but not really. It shouldn't take that long. In other words,
no.
So if you want to play for a contender, I mean, I don't know. If I'm a free agent, I could argue that Seattle is going to be better once McDonald gets his stamp on things. It's just, it may not be this season, but it's not going to be 5 years.
No. And maybe too, the other one for a guy like DK.
He
doesn't want to play with Geno. And I still think that Geno's good. And I think in this version of this offense, if they get the O-line right, which is a big if, because God, they haven't got the O-line right in forever. But if they get the O-line right, and I think Geno played in the fifth worst pocket in the NFL last year. So by, you know, the fifth, least clean pockets in the NFL. And we know that Geno, he's a guy that needs to throw the ball downfield, and he's a guy that works the play action. And so you put him in this crappy system which was a disaster under Grubb, with that O-line, it didn't look good. And Geno's still going to Geno, even if things are great. But I think under this system, and that's why you're bringing in the OC that you are, is you're trying to take some of that burden off Geno and focus on the strengths and not ask him to be the savior, because he's not saving you. So I think that is the extent of Seattle, you would hope, is about to take a step forward. But you've said it. When you have Geno Smith as your quarterback, people just aren't going to take you seriously. It will always be that way. You're going to have to beat people over the head to prove that you're for real. It's the Sam Darnold thing. Minnesota, you know, is winning 10, 11, 12 games as the season goes on. And because they had Sam Darnold, people still looked at him and was like, yeah, I don't really trust you. And then we got to the end of the year and people were right. So I think that's just, until they figure out the quarterback, people are going to have their doubts, but I do like the direction that Seattle's going. So even though some Seahawks fans are going to be like, oh my God, we got rid of Lockett and Metcalf. Trust me, those two receivers are taking you nowhere. And we just have got to change the way we think about wide receivers in the NFL.
Well, I think it's, you know, kind of what you're saying is when you are retooling and getting your style in there, wide receiver can be the last thing you drop in.
Yes.
I mean, just go with Bobo, go with the cheap free agent, and go with Smith and Jigba for now.
And go draft a couple guys.
Yeah, or next year, even focus on it.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
it just doesn't have to be now.
No. You know, it's last year when Buffalo got rid of, they got rid of Stephon Diggs, and then they got rid of Gabe Davis, right? And everyone was oh my God.
I forgot about Gabe Davis.
Yeah. Like, everyone instantly.
Where's he now?
Went into this. Where did Dave Gavis go? He went.
It's Gabe Davis, not Dave Gavis.
Yeah, I think he's in Jacksonville.
Really? Dude, he is.
Gabe Gavis.
Dave Gavis.
I'm gay.
That is, boy, you want to talk about falling off the planet?
Yeah.
I forgot about Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Or is it
Dave Gavis?
He was hurt a bunch of last year. He played like eight games and he had, you know, whatever, 20 catches. This is my thing is, when you're in Buffalo with Josh Allen, it's amazing how good you look. You know, Stephon Diggs, hey, go away. I want nothing to do with Stephon Diggs. Go take a flying whatever.
Yeah, loser.
And we all sat there and we're like, when Houston got Stephon Diggs, we're like, oh man, this offense. The offense got worse. Yeah, it's not Stephon Diggs' fault, but at this point in his career, he doesn't vault offenses forward. And for all the people that were like, well, people were picking Buffalo to finish third in that division because they got rid of the two receivers. One was a pain in the ass that you didn't want to deal with, and the other one was propped up because he had Josh Allen. Well, last time I checked, Buffalo was really good. So I go back to it. Receivers are the new running backs. Years ago, we looked at and we're like, whoa, you got a running back, you're going to be great. No, you're not. And we put way too much emphasis, with the exception of the true number ones, the Jordan Jeffersons and the Jamar Chases and guys like that. Yes, you get one. And by the way, those guys are never available. You don't ever see those guys get to free agency. It doesn't happen, because when you get one, you hold on to him for dear life because it's an absolute game changer. But once you get past that handful of guys, dude, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
And you play in a good system with a good quarterback, you can be productive.
All right. Coming up next, the latest concussion research shows something a little surprising. We'll get to that when we return. Here's Buck.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as you know, we bet Blazers Celtics tonight, and we are now in a very interesting middle position because what we're debating is, so the Blazers are down 19, but what we're debating is the Celtics, very shorthanded.
Yeah, they've only played 8 guys tonight. And two
they
of
only
them
have 8 guys.
And 2 of them I've never heard of.
So in the fourth quarter, see, I think this goes back to why the spread was still so high, even without Tatum and Porzingis and Holiday.
Yeah.
Is that I think that Vegas was counting on the Blazers being tired. Sixth game of a 7-game road trip.
Yeah.
Boy, it's sure looking like they're gassed.
Yes.
But Boston is shorthanded. So now Buck and I have Boston minus the point. Now you took the Blazers. Now you've got a backdoor opportunity here.
I need something here. I got the Blazers and I'm getting 10.
Yeah, so they're within an earshot of a backdoor cover. Yeah. We've got Boston, and we're thinking about taking Portland plus 18.5 right now and try to hit them both, try to get a nice little middle. But then I'm like, well, Portland's gas. But then I'm like, well, Celtics are going to put in, like, the worst.
Drew Peterson's about to enter this game. You know he is. And if you don't know who Drew Peterson is, neither do I, but look at him. He's coming into the game as a big, lanky, like Mike Glennon apparently plays for the Boston Celtics. And if he comes into this game, backdoor, that's my only hope. Is that at some point in the fourth quarter, Boston's like, fine, we're up by 20. Drew, it's yours.
Right.
And then someone goes nuts for the Blazers, and they lose by 8.
Live betting. I don't know. I think I'm just going to write it out. Hope Boston's
Where's this Tumani Kamara defense on Peyton Pritchard or Derek White, for God's sakes?
Yeah, I heard on my favorite midday show that Tumani Kamara is like the next LeBron James.
Well, he's 1 for 9 for 5 points, and Derek White's got 30, and Peyton Pritchard hitting 17 different threes.
Pritchard's got 34 on 9 of 14 from deep.
Damn.
God's sakes.
How many does he hit? Does he go for
Does he put up a nickel?
The record's 14.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think you got to kind of...
Yeah, he's keeping
with a short bench tonight? Go for it.
Shooting.
I think you ride that out.
I want Mazzulla there with his Ash Wednesday forehead to just be like, hey, man, just keep launching. Just shoot. Put up 40 of them. See what happens.
30 years ago, Dr. John Letty was treating athletes at the University of Buffalo when he became frustrated with the conventional wisdom around concussions. Mm. The prevailing view back then was that concussed athletes should do very little activity until their symptoms had passed. But new research into concussions is showing that that is not the case.
No, really?
Yeah, this is the new thing. They're saying many symptoms such as headaches can show up for reasons that have nothing to do with a concussion, meaning that doctors were keeping people out of action for longer than necessary. Also, just as seriously, the athletes were completely miserable. They had depression, sitting around doing nothing, and that magnifies everything else. So according to this guy, it didn't make a lot of sense. And so they started doing some homework on what you should do to rehab from concussions. And they are now saying that people can rehab from concussions with exercise. It's very similar. It's not unlike a heart attack.
Huh.
Because you can rehab to return to exercise from a heart attack.
Sure.
Why not? They're saying, why not take the same approach to the brain?
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm going to need more.
Well, here's more.
Yeah.
In the past 2.5 years, Leddy's hypothesis has become a global consensus. Mild to moderate aerobic activity starting soon after a concussion isn't just okay. It actually boosts recovery.
Huh.
Strong evidence exists regarding the benefits of physical activity and aerobic exercise treatment as early interventions. the best available evidence shows that recommending strict rest until the complete resolution of concussion-related symptoms is not beneficial.
Interesting. Well, that's good. I mean, I was kind of, my fear in this is when I heard you talking about that is dumbass coaches being like, oh, what, you know, get out there, man. You're fine, you know, and shoving guys back out. But there's a difference between mild aerobic activity and putting yourself, because we do know that secondary concussion syndrome can freaking kill you.
Right.
And that's the scary part. And this is the part that bothered me when I played is that no one gave two S's about concussions, and you'd get concussed and they'd put you right back in the game, where if they did pull you out of it, the next day you were back hitting people. So I think, I guess I got a little scared there, but that's a good thing if, you know, you don't have to sit around and do nothing. Because I do know with people that get concussions, that is a very frustrating part of it, is they just feel like they can do nothing but sit there in the dark.
Yeah. So, kind of interesting. Had no idea that that was a thing.
No, I didn't either.
But basically, exercise is the medicine.
Someone's saying, brought to you, this study brought to you by the NFL, bring back the wedge. the NFL is paying for this thing. This is like when the tobacco company spent 40 years trying to find out if nicotine was bad for you. Hey, I don't know what to tell you, man. We keep trying to find it. We got nothing.
Yeah. So they're saying, while this is kind of widely known in medical circles, in sports, it is not still.
No.
Yeah, people don't.
I've never heard of this.
No, I know. It's the first. It's kind of just getting out there.
I mean, they tell you all the time, like, when you get concussed, nothing. You're down. Because some of those symptoms can last a while.
Yeah.
The nausea, the dizziness, the headaches. And I have, everything I've ever heard is simply, you do nothing. You sit down and you rest. Because it's so scary, the idea that you're, you know, you're messing with your brain on that. It's not like tweaking an ankle.
Yeah. He says, the message hasn't trickled through to the athletes at large. Plenty of teenagers and weekend warriors continue to receive old advice that they should do nothing at all. The result is that many high school soccer players, for instance, sit out to their detriment. Clinical data suggests that the effects on girls is particularly negative.
Just be careful there, because again, it's like, it's that language. When you're dealing with people that aren't professionals, people love to pick and choose, like reading the Bible. You'll pick and choose the parts you like, and then ignore the parts that you don't.
Yeah.
So like when you hear like sit out, that's the part that terrifies me, because you're going to get some guy like with soccer that's like, well, you can run around. If you can run around, why can't you be out there? Next thing you know, you take a ball off the dome, or God forbid, you take a, you're like, oh, we're just going half speed. You take an elbow. And next thing you know, because we do know for a fact that when you have a concussion, the second one, especially while you're still concussed and having symptoms, can come much, much easier.
Yeah.
So again, just to anyone listening to that, remember there's a difference between aerobic activity and the quote sitting out.
Yeah, they're saying that the goal would be to get your heart rate up to 50% of the maximum age predicted rate. For elite athletes, they're saying it's a little more subjective. They can pretty much do anything they want.
Yeah.
Until it provokes
symptoms.
Like if you get a headache or dizziness or eye strain.
This person here at text line said, we had a concussion specialist join our college athletic training staff, and they were preaching this. They said not only get up and moving, but sooner than later, but doing brain rehab with easy brain activities.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I got to work the brain.
I had no idea.
Got to work it.
Yeah. Again, I like
work
back,
that S.
Back in my day, the treatment to a concussion was to call you the P word.
Right.
Some smelling salts.
Right.
And send you right back out.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And that wasn't that long.
No.
Well, it's actually still a thing, kind of.
Yeah.
That's still a thing.
Yeah, there are still quarterbacks who we watch get concussed, and everyone's like, he hurt his shoulder. You're like,
I was knocked unconscious and then finished the game. Like, that's...
Yeah, but you played in the olden days.
Yeah.
I'm saying still right now,
it's still kind of And the only saving grace now is that everyone has the eyeballs on it. So when they see like the fencing posture, then we're all like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But you're right. Two had that and they said it was a back injury. I can't believe they got away with that. A back. Hey, Tua, why did your hands go stiff and rigid? My back hurt. You know, like when you pull your shoulder blades back. Yeah, that seems to be what the problem was. And they got away with it.
They did.
And then, like, the next year, he almost died again.
All right.
Why are you going there?
Open Seggy next on The Fan. This is a jam. Rage. Were you a big Rage guy back in the day?
I wouldn't say I was a big Rage guy, but I think everyone our age appreciated some Rage. But
good
I would,
driving music? Good workout music?
Yeah. Of all the bands of that era, yeah, that wasn't, I wouldn't say they were anywhere near my, they never cracked a top five, probably didn't crack a top 10. That was more of a, you know, Bulls on Parade, like you got a ancillary sort of song or two. But like, if I wanted something like that was angry inducing, I was more of a Motorhead Pantera, sort of.
Yeah.
Either went heavier or softer, like Pearl Jam. Or then heavier with like Metallica, Pantera, that way. Maybe some Ozzy. Dude, Ozzy in the 90s.
He was great.
After he left Black Sabbath. Dude, like Ozzy was the balls as a solo guy. Controversial statement. I think I might like Ozzy on his own better than the Black Sabbath stuff.
Yeah, I don't know much of the Black Sabbath world.
Well, you get like, you know, Paranoid and, you know, I mean, those are like...
Well, like I said, I mean, I know of them, I just don't...
Yeah.
I never really listened to them much. I was more of an Aussie guy because I'm young. I'm spry and young, and Black Sabbath was before my time.
Yeah, Sabbath was before us.
They were more 70s, right?
Yes. And then when Ozzy was doing his thing in the 80s, and he was doing kind of like, I don't know, kind of cheesy stuff, maybe a little bit, like more of the 80s metal, like Shot in the Dark. But then when he came into the 90s, then Ozzy put out some phenomenal work. Some like the No More Tears and Mom, I'm Coming Home and just some like classic, just unbelievable stuff. But in fact, they're doing their, I was looking into it and I probably won't happen, but they are playing, supposedly, Ozzy's doing one last show in Birmingham, England this year. And then that's it.
How old is that dude?
Oh, he's in his 70s.
8 million years old.
Yeah. So, but everyone's going, all the big metal acts, everyone's showing up and it's going to be one big final, kick-ass Ozzy Osbourne tribute, Black Sabbath's reuniting for one night and it's going to be pretty kick-ass. But eventually, like, you know.
I won't be there.
No, but you know, like at some point, like I know we're all, you know, we're conditioned to believe that nothing is the farewell, but dude, Ozzy is going to be 77 this year and. There's some problems there. So I do believe that this may be the last go-round.
This is really it.
I think this is I can't see Ozzy up there at 80 years old, you know, singing War Pigs.
The guy can barely speak as it is.
You know, it's...
I watched that MTV Osbourne show. And
they say he was drunk the whole time?
Yeah, they actually say that he was pretty... That was not... a good indication of all his faculties. They just said he was a raging alcoholic
during
that time.
He used to mess all the time.
And some of his family, like he had a daughter that wasn't on that show that wouldn't do it because she thought they were exploiting him by making fun of it. And in reality, they didn't show it, but he just was pissed drunk all the time, which is tough. You imagine like making money off your dad's raging alcohol problem?
Well, I mean, if he were an alcoholic, which he is not, we'd already talked about that on today's program. My dad occasionally has a Seagram's and Seven.
Yeah.
But, if he were, I mean, let's at least profit from it. You know?
That's...
You guys want to film it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the sad part is his wife, is the one that put all that together, and then his two brat-ass kids got famous and got their share off of that. Meanwhile, you know, their dad's on TV drinking himself to death, and everyone's like, oh, it's hilarious.
Well, I will say at the time, because I watched that show too, we didn't know that.
No.
We just thought that was his brain all fried from the drugs.
Yeah.
But that wasn't, I mean.
No.
That wasn't the case.
They say that he was not gone the way people thought he was. He just was hammer drunk the entire time.
But you just didn't know that.
No.
As a viewer.
And now looking back on it, I just think it looks sad. And they always say
it is.
Well, and if you ever, I've heard this from so many different celebrities like this. They say, if you want your family to fall apart, just get a reality show. They say it will tear your family to shreds.
There are perks though.
Well, money and
has it torn the Kardashians apart?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Why are you going there?
But they made $1 billion off of it. So, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, the mom put out a porno tape of her daughter to get famous.
Yeah, but that was before the reality show.
Yeah, but that's what led to it. The mom literally sat down and crafted the idea to put out a sex tape of her daughter because of the Paris Hilton thing, and it worked.
I do feel like...
Is there a rung in hell for that? I mean...
I do feel like the... who is the bitchy one? Courtney?
Yeah.
I feel like the reality show has not served her well. I feel like she's cranky and bitter because of it.
Didn't it get her mixed up with Lamar Odom?
That's Chloe.
Oh, that's Chloe.
I thought Courtney was with Lamar. Chloe was?
Look, they have a whole
I can't remember.
They have a whole basketball lineup.
One of them was with Lord Disick.
Yeah,
and that's the one I'm talking about.
That's Courtney, I think.
She just seems real cranky and bitter now. The other one has gotten progressively hotter. And that's the Lamar Odom one.
She has. That show has made her hotter. Probably like a drug problem and an eating disorder, but indeed hotter.
And then she was the one that dated Tristan Thompson, and he screwed her over. So, she just can't. She's just the poor gal. She can't catch a break.
She
doesn't understand that us
regular folks.
Regular guys are the way to go. But.
And then one married Kanye West, and I think that was before he turned into a Nazi. But
and then her. I mean, I don't even know what's going on with her. Who's she with now? Kim.
I don't know. What do you do when... Because she has kids with Kanye West. What do you explain to your kids when their father's a black Nazi?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
How do you do that? Like when your dad is selling swastika t-shirts and hating the Jews, what do you, how do you explain that one to the old kiddos?
Crazy, man.
Is she allowed to hang out with dear old dad and
what a world
hate on the Jews together?
All right. Well, we have killed another segment.
Yes, we have.
The club is coming up next. We're going to learn about the Tooth Fairy Index and what percentage of people pee in the shower daily.
Oh, I'm right here.
Next on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.